B-Pod Studios.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Sports Hub.
Gasper and Murray have scorching hot takes. Twisting your mind with Pat Celtics and Bates. They'll also talk socks and out-of-town fame. Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper.
Hey, Murray.
Gasper.
Hey, Murray.
Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper.
Hey, Murray.
Gasper.
Hey, Murray.
Gasper.
Hey, Murray.
Gasper.
From the Town Fair Tire Studio, Gasper Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Jim. How's it going?
All right.
It'd
be nice to see some sunshine. You know, I know we'll get it there. I know we'll get there tomorrow, but I just feel like I've been like in perpetual darkness for like six straight days here. So I'm a little cranky and a little like,
yeah. I can tell.
Yeah, just like a rolled out of bed feel this morning. Because it's just, you know, it'd be so much nicer to be all cozy and snug in that bed today. But, you know, we got to be here for the people. And damn it, I will be. Is this the make or break game for the Patriots season tomorrow afternoon, SoFi Stadium? In your favorite city in these United States
of America. That is correct.
In Los Angeles. Well, it's a technically Inglewood, but we'll call it L.A. Is this the make-or-break game for the season for the Patriots tomorrow? And if they win, should they also invest come the trade deadline on Tuesday?
Ooh, I like that. I mean, I think they should invest either way because...
Really?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I think that if you can get some upgrades that are more than rentals or you can find players that can help you. I mean, because ultimately... Won't that help the development of Mac Jones or whatever you have to do defensively, a cornerback? You have to figure something out in terms of life after Steph Gilmore. So I think sort of either way that they should do it. But I do think this is a measuring stick game for the Patriots, and this is a pivot point in their season. Look, what happened last week against the Jets was great, certainly encouraging, and the offense has looked better the last 2 weeks. They've made strides, 29 points against Dallas, and you throw up, you know, a 50 spot against the Jets. But the reality is you're 3-4 and you haven't beaten anybody with close to a winning record or anybody who's close to a contender. So I think this is a statement game for the Patriots. If they go on the road and beat a Chargers team that I think is a playoff team and beat a good young quarterback in Justin Herbert, then I think you can look back on some of the close losses to Tampa and Dallas and say that they were meaningful and they were indicative of something. To me, if you lose the game or what people are saying right now is sort of revisionist history and moral victory Monday, which I thought we didn't do around here in terms of saying, well, you know, look at these, look at the way they played against the Jets. I mean, you know, and look how close they were to beating these other teams. This team's better. You know, they do it too. We're not a 3-4 team. We're better than our record. Okay.
I find some of that stuff embarrassing, by the way.
I do too. But if you get back to 500 and you do it by beating the Chargers on the road, I think you can do all that stuff. Squawk all you want. You're legit.
So you weren't part of this conversation, and I'm surprised I didn't bring it up yesterday with your appearance on Felger and Maz. We were trying to figure out amongst the three of us earlier in the week, when's the last Patriots quality road win? And the closest thing we could come up with was that horrible game that we were at against Philadelphia, Brady's last year in 2019, which was a rock fight. I think they won it 16-10 or something like that, I recall. I just remember being bored to death. But either way, the Patriots won it. Eagles finished that season 9-7. But again, if you remember it well, and you were there, Chris, as was I.
Yes.
That wasn't really like a quality opponent, but that's the closest we can come up with because they didn't have one last year.
Yeah. Well, I mean, on the road, no, you're right. Here's the other thing, and this ties into what I just said. When people talk about the Buccaneers game and the Cowboys game as sort of, oh, you know, those are like positive losses and, you know, really almost like kind of half a win. It's almost like me with the with the 2007 champion. Now I know how you feel when I talk about the 16-0, when I'm like, oh, that's like half a championship. These are like half wins, you know? So really, if you look at it, the Patriots going into this, you know, they're not like 3-4. You have to like flip the record, because if you, you know, those two half wins actually make them 4-3, Jim.
Yeah.
With those two half wins.
Yeah.
But to me, the Baltimore game last year, like that was a game you won where the other team clearly had more talent. And
nobody
you beat
really
them.
Expected that.
No yeah. one expected that. And you really outplayed them in that game. So that's why I can't get excited about, you know, the losses to the Bucs and the Cowboys. But to your point, that game was at home. It was not on the road. It's been a while.
Yeah. And even then, again, I think you can kind of almost discredit that one against the Eagles that year. And then maybe you have to go back even to, I think it's either week 3 or 4, another ugly win. But a win nonetheless against the Buffalo Bills, but they hadn't really found themselves yet. They're not the team that they are. And I think they're the class of the AFC this year. But it's been a while. I do think it could be a real statement win for them. I think it would bring people back on the beam in terms of buy-in. It's not like they've lost fans, but I think people have looked at this team this year and some of these losses and been like, they're not really a playoff team. You win this game tomorrow against what I agree with you. I think the Chargers are a good, not great team. That'll go a long way, and I think people will feel a hell of a lot more positive about their playoff path, which still does exist. And let's not forget that I think the conference, at least comparatively speaking to the NFC, Chris, is down. Like, I don't think that the AFC is as strong as the NFC in terms of contenders this year.
No, I would agree with you. I mean, look, I think the AFC is pretty wide open, which I think has to be exciting if you're a Patriots fan or if you're the Patriots, right? I mean, you have to be excited about that, the idea of how wide open this conference is in terms of trying to make the postseason. And then I don't know, maybe it's one of those years where it's just like, okay, you know, who got hot at the end here, and that's kind of what's going to happen. And there's no real clear front runner, at least in my mind, in terms of a team that is the runaway favorite to win the AFC. So it's one of those things where if you can get better as the year goes on, you get yourself into the playoffs, maybe you can make a little noise at the end.
How do they do it? I've fallen into this. Everyone has been talking this week about how porous the Chargers' run defense is. It's the worst in the league against the run. They've given up over 150 yards in 5 of 6 games. They gave up over 400 rushing yards and 6 touchdowns to the Browns and Ravens combined. Again, coming off a bye, but this has been very problematic for them up front. And I, too, think like if the Patriots are going to go in there and pull off the upset, and it would be a minor upset, they got to muck this game up, ground and pound with Damian Harris, Ramondre Stevenson, and just play boring-ass football. Because I don't think you want to get in a shootout with this game, with this team, because you won't win.
I don't think you want to get into a shootout with them either. And I think one of the ways you can – look, they did an amazing job last year against Herbert. I'm really intrigued to see if Herbert's one of those guys that Belichick just sort of has mastery over, like sort of Manning in the early days.
You also had Stephon Gilmore erasing
Keenan Allen
last
year. That's a great point. Yeah, you don't have that now. But I'm intrigued to see if Herbert plays better than he did last year when they beat him. What was that, 45-0?
Yeah.
I mean, that was one last year. Speaking of path talk, and I was the king of path talk, I was like, yep, here we go. Like, this is the run. Here they go. This is a big-time win. And it didn't work out that way. So I think, look, you don't want to get into a shootout with these guys. I think if you can run the football, that helps Mac Jones. He's very good out of play action. I know people say there's not a correlation between, you know, effectiveness of running and play action. I'm sorry, I don't buy that. I do think play action works no matter what, but I do think it's enhanced by an ability to run the ball. That's just human nature for the linebackers there. And so that would help. And then if you can just keep Herbert and those weapons off the field, I think, you know, that helps you defensively when you're a little depleted at corner.
Does it bug you that there's this, I don't know, this kind of like bitchy conversation that's mostly from Patriots fans this year? Like, no, I would take Mac Jones over Justin Herbert. Like,
what? Is that serious or is that a straw? I haven't heard anyone say that. Is that happening?
I mean, I see it on Twitter and I see people like, they post these PFF numbers and where he is relative to other rookies this year. And they talk about the upside. And I do think the kid is good. I'm not like he sucks or anything like that. I think he's good.
Yeah, me neither. For the record, he is good.
But I'm a rockhead when it comes to stuff like this. Yeah. Eyeball test alone. I think you're kind of a moron if you would take Mac Jones over Justin Herbert. Just eyeball test, the makeup, how he just, you know, his ability.
Yeah.
I think it was evident. Like the kid came in last year, like, you know, because Tyrod Taylor had the doctor puncture his lung with a bad needle.
Shouldn't laugh at that, but
it's a terrible story. But the kid came in and was immediately like really, really good.
He was.
And I couldn't have more egg on my face when it comes to Justin Herbert, because I don't trust quarterbacks out of Oregon, from anyone from Akili Smith to Joey Harrington to Marcus Mariota. It's a stiff factory. So I thought he was going to be another in a long line of stiffs with that goofy offense they run up there. But no, it turns out he's the real deal. But I think people already say, like, no, Mac's going to be better. Like, okay, time will tell. But for now, eyeball test alone, if you say you want Mac Jones over Justin Herbert, I think you're an idiot.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree on that. I mean, Herbert has a higher upside just based on physical ability. So I would go with Herbert there, you know, and his ability to make some plays with his feet as well. And he's played really well this year. I mean, he's been, you know, he's been a top 10 quarterback this year. So I like Herbert in the long run. I always get accused of creating straw men. So I like don't want to buy into this because I haven't seen it. I haven't heard like a single Patriot fan say that.
Okay.
But I believe you, though, if you're saying you're seeing it on Twitter. And trust me, I know there are Patriot fans who sort of respond, you know, laundry first. They would have a completely different opinion if Justin Herbert were in a Patriots uniform and Mac Jones were in a Chargers uniform. So I'm not saying that's not happening, but I haven't heard a lot of it. I don't think anybody that really watches football at this point in their careers, and it's early, could make a case that you would take Mac Jones over Justin Herbert, not only going forward, but I mean, just on Sunday, like even the Patriots, like if the Patriots could swap quarterbacks, you don't think they'd be like, yeah, we'll take Herbert for the day. You can take Mac.
Do you think he's the best young quarterback, like 26 and under in the league?
Kyler Murray. It's close. Yeah. I think, I mean, Kyler Murray comes to mind for me. He's pretty good.
Burrow
to me is not on Herbert's level yet, but man, yeah, he can sling it. Yep. Burrow's definitely in there. I would say it's Kyler Murray or Herbert.
Yeah, and just going back to this game as a whole, too, another way that I think the Patriots need to change their mentality if they're going to pull off this, again, minor upset and win this game, is they've got to be, Chris, more aggressive on fourth down. Because okay, people that haven't paid attention to the Chargers, only three teams have attempted more fourth down conversions than them. This Brandon Staley, their new head coach, who was... And it's crazy to me, like, he's got to be an analytics guy, or they have to have a lot of nerds in their front office or, you know, on their coaching staff, because this is defensive-minded coach. He was the defensive coordinator of the L.A. Rams. But the way that they're running that offense, they've attempted, again, more fourth-down conversions than pretty much all but three teams, and they've converted them 8 for 12. They go for them in, like, their own territory, like their own 20.
Really? Oh, okay, yeah, yeah. So I wasn't aware of that. Yeah, I haven't dug into this.
Staley loves going for it on fourth down. The Patriots, only one team has attempted fewer fourth down conversions. Seattle, right. Yeah. So they've only gone for it four times. And a lot of times, like, they're in the opponent's territory. You can't be punting. You can't be giving up on fourth and one. I think you have to have a more aggressive offensive mentality, or Josh McDaniels does, in this game tomorrow if they're going to win.
Well, I mean, ultimately, I think those are Bill's decisions. I think there's a couple of things that go into that. One, I think it plays into the larger Mac Jones discussion. You know, for all the people that come after me or come after you, and Mac Jones this, and he's already this. Do you think the coach believes that? Because if he did, you'd be going for it more in these fourth downs.
Yeah, that's fair.
I mean, you'd put the ball in his hands and do it. So I think the coach isn't as high on the quarterback as some of you guys are. I think he likes him. I think they think he has a bright future. I think they can absolutely win with him this year. But is he the, you know, oh, slap some PFF numbers in your face, like, you know, already better than Kirk Cousins and Jimmy G? I don't think the coach thinks that. Otherwise, you'd be going for it more on fourth down, and you're not. He'd rather put the game on the foot of the kicker than in the hands of the rookie quarterback. I mean, that's just a fact.
Take that, Mac Jones Mafia.
Well, I mean, Folk is the second best player on the team. I mean, that's a fact as well. It goes Matt Judon, Nick Folk, and then whoever after that, maybe Mac. Well, I'd say Damian Harris.
Yeah.
I mean, Damian Harris is in the top 10 in the NFL in rushing, and he's missed time.
Oh, yeah, that's got to be a tough bittersweet pill for the Mac Mafia to swallow right there. That's right. Yeah, the coach
yeah, Matt,
be going
Mac's
for
not
more.
Even the best Alabama offensive player on his own team. Uh-huh. Ah, take that, people. Ah, Gasper's so negative. Ah, he came up. He did it again.
There's that tonality issue again. 617-779-0985. You want to join us, talk about tomorrow's game. It's fair to call it a pivotal game because, again, I think they win. The buy-in's there a little bit more from people on the fence. Look at this team. It's like, I'm not going to invest all that much. I think, I'll go, you don't want to go apple picking. But, you know, you'd do other things on a Sunday going forward because you don't believe there's a path to the playoffs. They
maybe
win tomorrow.
A hayride?
Real path. Oh, I hate a hayride,
too. Oh, hayrides are the worst, right? If you had to choose, let's say this is like, you know, one of the layers of hell here, right? Would you rather go apple picking or on a hayride?
It's
tough,
boy,
isn't
both
it?
Both are terrible.
I know, it's really
apple
tough.
Picking, because ultimately there is going to be apple crisp at the end of
it.
Still have
there's
to make it.
There.
It's going to be expensive. It's going to be a giant pain in the ass. But there is a payoff at the end. The hayride, like what happens at the end of the hayride? Like, yay. And then you got to share it with all these strangers and their kids. Oh, horrible. All right, 617-779-0985. Let's talk about tomorrow's game. And let's further explore this trade deadline thing, because I think it's crazy, Chris, that if they lose this game, you still think that they should invest. And I think it would be a terrible look if they ended up bringing in a cornerback after they traded Stephon Gilmore for basically pocket lint. All right, more coming up here on Gaspar Murray after this.
That's an aberration, which I freely admit.
It's Gasper and Murray.
I'm drunk, you're gross, let's go.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Is 98.5 the Sports Hub.
Sounds like fact, not opinion to me.
This is Gasper and Murray on Boston's home for sports. 98.5 the Sports Hub.
He's really good. He's really good. I thought he was outstanding. Just really had everything you're looking for. He's very athletic. Good arm, a lot of poise. He's as good a quarterback as I've seen come out here in quite a while. You know, I don't think you're going to find too many better than him. I have a ton of respect for him. I think he's going to be one of the top quarterbacks in the league for a long time to come.
Patriots head coach Bill Belichick on young Justin Herbert, the quarterback they'll be facing tomorrow.
Oh, I thought he was talking about his quarterback.
Yeah.
He wasn't?
He was not. See, tonality issue, Chris. They're going to get the people all mad again.
Am I?
It's Gasper Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub, 4:05 kickoff at SoFi Stadium. You can catch the call of the game here. Bob Sosi, Scott Zolak here on 98.5, the Sports Hub. And pregame coverage begins with Chris Gasper and Beadle at when? 1 tomorrow?
What, for the 4 o'clock game?
Yeah.
It's 1 o'clock.
All right, yeah. And of course, the postgame.
I'm sorry,
with myself
Jim,
and Joe
I'm distracted Murray. Trying to find this Chelsea Premier League match.
That's right. We've got to find Chelsea. It's usually noon when I lose Chris to European soccer, but it's mark it down, 11:25 when he's holding the remote like my dad, just searching for something to watch.
I want to see this. Chelsea's my team. I want to see this match.
I think sometimes that the worst idea for any, not just here, any, because you go in and it's a thing at any sports radio station. There's TVs, multiple in the studio. They're distracting. Like, you need to do the show. I need to find Chelsea. The match is on this morning, yeah? All right, but as far as the match for American football tomorrow, Patriots, Chargers, I think if they're going to win, they're going to have to muck it up, play boring, a lot of running, a lot of play action from Mac Jones. And Mac Jones, I think that might be his best attribute is his toughness to me so far, Chris.
I think it's his decision-making. He processes really quickly. He makes good decisions. I mean, he clearly has the brain for this offense. He's a perfect fit from a processing standpoint for this offense.
Yeah, so I would label that under my smart is what I would say. So tough, smart, and really good at the play action, especially under center. So yeah, boring, run, play action, and you have to be more aggressive on fourth down against this Chargers team, who again goes for it pretty much like all the time on fourth down. And I think you will see that again tomorrow if you haven't been really paying all that much attention. But as far as the trade deadline is concerned, coming up on Tuesday, again, to reiterate, you said that even if they lose this tomorrow, they should still invest in what? So like a wide receiver to help bring Mac Jones along? And then a cornerback? Because this is the thing. The corner one is crazy, Chris, because I think that would be such an admission of failure on behalf of Bill Belichick, who, again, traded Stephon Gilmore for a nuts and gum. You got nothing in
together
return.
Together at last.
Yeah, that's right. And I get it, like Gilmore now in Carolina, Jonathan Jones out for the rest of the year. It's a weak position, but boy, that would be a bad look. They lose tomorrow and still go out and get a cornerback? Bad look.
You think so? So they lose tomorrow, right? They're 3-5. We've talked about how wide open the AFC is. You already invested $175 million in guaranteed money in this team in the offseason to try and get back into the playoffs. I don't think it's as outlandish as you do. And you have a real crying need at that position. So, look, I would say don't go out and get a guy that you think is just a rental. But they already made the move in the offseason for Sean Wade to bring him in. And I think we could see him. He's back practicing after the concussion. You sunk so much into this team that if you're not willing to try and fix the holes in a pretty wide open AFC, then I say, well, what are you doing? I mean, what do you want him to do? Like, stand pat or sell off? Like, do you want to sell off pieces like J.C. Jackson if they lose this game?
Well, I don't think they're going to pay him. So, yes.
Well, yeah. Then the season's over. I mean, you're waving the white flag. You're waving the white flag to your team. You're waving the white flag to your fan base. You're waving the white flag to ownership and saying, sorry, I wasted your money.
Yeah, but I think you've got to be thinking long term. And if you can get, you know, a second round pick, say, for J.C. Jackson, yeah, I would do that. Because I don't think they're going to pay him this offseason. If someone wants to rent him for a second round pick, I think, yes, you absolutely take that. I will say this, regardless, win or lose tomorrow, I think they're going to do something because they've historically been one of the more active teams at the trade deadline over the last, like, five, six years or so. Like, you know, they've been sellers. They're moving out guys like Collins, Jimmy Garoppolo. They bring in Kyle Van Noy.
Mohamed Sanu.
The horrific Mohamed Sanu trade in 2019.
Keep Tlaib deal was a great deal.
Let's not even forget last year when, you know, they're scratching for the path. They trade for Isaiah Ford of the Miami Dolphins. Remember the Isaiah Ford era last year, everyone?
Man, so love that guy in warm-ups. Every week in warm-ups, pregame, he'd be like, I got to tell you, Isaiah Ford just, I mean, he looks like, he just moves differently than the rest of their receivers. Like, that guy looks like a receiver. He would say that every week to us.
Where's he now? Driving for Uber? Like, what has happened? I say it in jest, but I don't know what has happened with Isaiah Ford. But I'll say this. Again, I think regardless, win or lose tomorrow, they're going to do something. It might be a minor move. I know Kyle Fuller has been, that name's been kicked around.
I like that guy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, I think that's the type of guy you could invest in and, you know, sort of solidify. Don't you think, look, you spent the money on Jalen Mills. I don't know how much longer Devin McCourty has. I wouldn't be surprised if this is his last year. I think Jalen Mills is a better fit at safety at the end of the day. And I don't think you really have a replacement right now at free safety. Like, you watch the team when Devin's out and you see they're putting Adrian Phillips back there. I mean, Adrian's smart. He can do that in a pinch, but that's not where he's best.
No, he's not great in coverage.
Duggar has picks in the last two games, but I really don't feel confident in him as sort of the guy that plays center field. I think he's better closer to the line of scrimmage. You know, I like what I see from Miles Bryant, but I mean, wouldn't it make sense to bring in another bona fide corner and maybe you can move Jalen Mills, who, I mean, the guy gives you everything he has, and I think he's smart, and I see why they like him, but I think he's just physically limited to be an outside corner.
Yeah. How about a wide receiver? You got a name in mind? And I know people are like, oh, go get Allen Robinson or Odell Beckham Jr. Like, they love the big names, and people always do that. Like, you get excited around trade deadline, but you know, they could use some help there, too. I think they could maybe have some, you know, look for a little bit of depth there. And what looked like their stronger position going into the season is now one of their weakest, like running back. You could use some depth there. So if they're going to add pieces, I would look wide receiver, running back, and linebacker as well.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think, you know, if there's a wide receiver who can help Mac Jones, help his development, maybe help you stretch the field, I'll throw a name out there. I've always liked this guy. What about DeSean Jackson, who wants out of L.A., wants out of the Rams now? I mean, I don't think he'd cost much. He's a 14-year
like a
veteran.
Rounder or something.
Yeah, but
like
I mean,
that.
Would you bring him in just as a field stretcher just to try and add that element to your offense? I mean, I think Aguilar can do it to a degree. I mean, last year he was second in the NFL, I think, in yards per reception, but we haven't really seen it here. Part of that's a function of the offense. Part of that's a function of Mac Jones, but nobody you know, when you look at it historically, like, I shouldn't say nobody. Historically, DeSean Jackson is on par with, say, a Randy Moss in terms of ability to stretch the field and get deep touchdown catches of 70 yards or longer. So that's a guy I would be okay with. I don't think he'd cost much, and you bring him in, and teams at least have to respect that deep speed when he's on the field.
Yeah, but with what's happened with Antonio Brown with the Bucs, and it doesn't sound like he's going to be back anytime soon, I would hope that Deshaun Watson would want to go back to Tampa and go play with Brady. That's the better. That's what
DeSean
I want.
DeSean Jackson, you mean?
DeSean Jackson. That's what I said. Who did I say?
DeSean Watson. Yeah.
My bad. Yeah, no, DeSean Jackson. That's what I want to see happen. No. He can't be a Patriot. He needs to go be a Buccaneer again and go help Brady.
I can see, like, the Saints getting him. Doesn't he seem like a Saints guy? Where, like, Sean Payton's like, okay, you do this one thing really well. Although, to your point about going back, he and Jameis Winston did not click, and I do not think he enjoyed his time playing with Jameis Winston. So maybe that's out, New Orleans bit. What about, so I'm curious about this. Because of the fact that Robert Saleh got his ass kicked, and Bill basically put it in his face, and afterwards he was like bro-hugging Bill and, like, you know, shaking his hand and not mad or anything at all, and then basically cried in his post-game press conference. Do you think you could get any of these Jets receivers? Like, you know, maybe they're like, we spent too much on Corey Davis or Jamison Crowder. We want to go with Elijah Moore or even Keelan Cole. Do you think there could be a deal with the Jets? I would make a deal for one of those guys.
Maybe. And that whole thing isn't as icy as it once was, because they did trade Demaryius Thomas to the Jets a couple of years ago.
Brady loved that trade.
Yeah, I know,
trade
right?
Demaryius Thomas so we can keep Gunnar Olszewski. He loved that deal.
Hey, Tom, F you. But I do wonder now, maybe that has gone a little sideways again because Bill decided I need to run it up against the Jets late last week, a mentality that I found completely pointless and tedious when I just wanted to get to the postgame show. I know you're selfish, baby, but like just run out the clock. Like this is that end of that game last week, Chris. Like what are we doing? It's almost 4:30. End this thing.
The last time I remember him doing that to a degree against a coach or franchise was 2007
against Washington,
against Joe Gibbs,
yep,
and the Washington, then Washington other name, but you know, Washington football team now. And he had Matt Cassel in, and I think this is right, this is off the top of my head, Cassel came in as a backup and they threw on 4th and 13 and converted.
Yeah.
And they were in field goal range.
And how'd that end up working for you karmically in the end?
Well, they went 16-0. It was a
great
One of the great seasons in the history of pro football.
Put the banner back up. Oh, God.
I do agree. Yeah, they should put that back. You know, they should put that back up. Just, I'll tell you what. You know, it's interesting. Now, Patriots fans used to thumb their nose and be like, I don't care about that. You know, now, based on the way the team has played since Brady left, I think you should put that banner up. And you know what? I think you should put a spotlight on it before pregame introductions every time.
That banner is as embarrassing as the AFC finalist banner they had.
Oh, no. That's hyperbole. It is
in
not.
Indianapolis. No. That thing was a testament to failure.
No. Because it is an accomplishment. Basically, what you're saying is like no team in any sport should hang a banner for, I don't know, winning the Adams division.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm for that. I like to championship banners. That's what you put up. Like, oh, we were the division winner. Oh, we had the best
Bruins would
record
have to take down about 75% of their banners.
As they should. Oh, the President's Cup. Oh, that albatross. Oh, God. All right. Well, we've gone off on a tangent here on dumb banners. That
I'll go
never
back to looking
again
for the Chelsea game. I'll let you. I'm sorry.
Yes. Chris has to flip around and find Chelsea. We'll come back. You want to talk about tomorrow's game, Patriots, Chargers. How do you think that they should attack the L.A. Chargers tomorrow? You with me? Have a boring, muck-it-up game. Run the ball. Go for it on fourth down, because that's the way that I think they're going to win this thing if they're going to pull off this minor upset tomorrow. Minor. Good Chargers, good, not great. But we'll get to some of your calls coming up here on Gasper and Murray next.
This is Gasper and Murray. Gasper and Murray on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Chris Gasper.
I'm not the one who's red-faced and ranting, so who's the baby?
And Big Jim Murray.
Takes in your face, sports.
Gasper and Murray on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Murray 98.5, the Sports Hub. Patriots, LA Chargers, make or break game for their season tomorrow. I don't think that's hyperbolic to say. That's how I feel about it. They win this tomorrow, again, the buy-in is there. You can talk about the path. You can see them realistically getting into the playoffs as maybe a 6 or a 7 seed. I guess, yes, mathematically you could still win the division. But I think the Bills, that's another one. Hey, Jim, you were wrong. See, I'm a man. I could admit it. Like, I thought the Bills were going to take a bit of a step back this year. And look, there's a long way to go. But so far, they're to me, you know, between them and Tennessee, I think the class of the conference. And maybe that says more about the conference overall, the AFC this year, Chris. But I do think that they're the real deal, and they're just like
no,
last
I do
year.
Too. I mean, I'm not writing off Kansas City either. I think eventually they're going to get their act together. I mean, they're last in the league in sacks. They clearly need to improve what they're doing defensively. And Patrick Mahomes is just turning the ball over all over the place. I mean, I have a theory on that. I think that, and I've had friends, you know, who are relatively new fathers and getting no sleep. And you sort of get like, you know, baby brain, like you're, because you're not getting sleep. And I feel like that's kind of what's going on with Mahomes.
Did you see that clip that went viral yesterday of the pain in the ass brother and his girl? They're out at a restaurant. It's Patrick Mahomes, his pain in the ass brother, who stepped all over the Sean Taylor logo at the Washington game a few weeks ago, like an a-hole, like put up a TikTok thing of him purposely dancing on it. Kid's an a-hole. And the girl who's always getting into it with the fans in opposing stadiums. Oh, I'll send it to you during the break. It's amazing. If you haven't seen this yet, I'll retweet it.
Okay.
Patrick Mahomes looks like a broken man, and it speaks to what you're saying. They're at a restaurant. The dumb brother's, like, doing a goofy, like, TikTok dance like all you idiot millennials now. Or Gen Z, sorry. No, the millennials now are in their 30s for the most part, the elder millennials. But now it's like he's just, like, goofball. Like, look at me. I'm doing this for clicks. His girl's acting like a giant pain in the ass. You see Patrick Mahomes just, like, slowly eating fries, like, kill me.
Really?
He's like,
I so wish I were in a State Farm commercial.
I just want to die.
Yeah. He's like, I just want to be that sneakerhead guy in the State Farm commercial. I don't want to do this anymore.
And so he's a dude I look at like that. I don't think he's a fraud. Like, he's legit. Obviously, what this shows is any of these national talking heads are like, yeah, he's the GOAT. Better than Brady. Baby GOAT. Bit premature, guys. He's infinitely talented, but I don't know if his foot's right. You know, he had that toe injury that hemmed him up last year.
Great point.
That offensive line in shambles again. There he is, like, for whatever reason, a turnover machine this year. The defense is wretched. A few weeks back, like, they could still squeak in, and they're dangerous because of that offense, but their explosivity. Real word? Is that a word? Their explosiveness.
Explosiveness.
Yeah. Explosiveness. Yeah. Isn't there that you've seen in the past. I have yet to see, like, all of a sudden Tyreek Hill burns down for, like, a 85-yard touchdown. Like, I haven't seen that in recent weeks.
It feels
like it's completely dried up.
Now, that's actually a pretty good point. Do you know that Hunter Henry has as many touchdown receptions as Travis Kelce?
Well, he's come on these last few weeks. And this speaks to what you said about last week's game against the Jets, which, you know, this is where, you know, you're lucky you get to do the pregame. Joe Murray and I came in as that thing was winding down. We're like, what the hell are we going to talk about? This game was useless. But what can you take out of the Jets? That said more about the Jets and what a wretched operation that is. But
the execution was very good on the Patriots' offensive. It was very good execution.
And the offensive line seems like, you know, they have found some continuity there. And Wainu should be on that right side. Mac Jones only gets sacked once. They protected him well. Kendrick Bourne has been more involved these last couple of weeks. Hunter Henry, as you said, is involved these
last... Damian Harris, back-to-back 100-yard. He can become the first Patriots running back since Corey Dillon in 2004 to rush for 100 yards in three straight games if he does it on Sunday. Yeah.
No kidding. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a hell of a stat.
Yeah.
Well, so as much as I kind of downplayed what they did last week because it was about the Jets, and again, they stink. No, I do think that they're trending upwards offensively. It's the defense I still think is the bigger problem for this team.
I would agree with you, but I want to circle back to break down this offensive thing because everything we're talking about relates to this point. And I know I get the tonality thing. I might be getting myself in trouble here, but I'm just going to say it. Don't you think that the offensive line and the weapons, the two areas that were pinpointed as being responsible for the team being 26th in points when I had my diatribe on Felger and Maz a few weeks ago, they've played a lot better of late. And yet no one's really pointing that out. They're just saying, well, look at the strides the quarterback has made. So the quarterback gets all the credit for them lighting it up. But when things weren't going well, it was, well, what do you expect? He has no weapons with a Z.
Yeah.
And the offensive line is terrible. And the offensive line was bad. But my only point is, if you're going to talk about them when they're really bad, then don't you have to they've been pretty good since the Houston game. And so don't you have to sort of give those guys their due? And aren't the weapons – I mean, the weapons – look, I'm not telling you this is the greatest show on turf or the 2007 Patriots, but you have a running back who's in the top 10 in the league in rushing. You have a tight end with as many touchdown receptions as Travis Kelce, and he's not as good as Travis Kelce, but they spent the money on this guy to be
like
a difference maker. He's starting to do it. Kendrick Bourne has had, you know, big 75-yard reception and a 46-yard reception in back-to-back weeks. Jacoby Myers is up there in, like, third down receiving. I'm not saying he has the greatest weapons, but I also don't think, like, it's completely bereft of weapons, which is the excuse people were using when they weren't scoring points.
No, they were last year. I mean, you look at those tight ends, and they spent the money that they did this offseason because of the likes of Matt Lacoste and who's the other one I'm forgetting right now?
Who's the other guy? Not Devin Asiasi.
No, not the bums that they drafted that can't get on the field. Either way.
Yeah.
No, last year you could make the excuse, even though Cam Newton really couldn't throw anymore, that they really didn't, they were bereft of weapons with the Z.
Weapons.
Now, this year, considering the money spent, those guys came along a little bit slowly. I still think Jonnu Smith has...
Yeah, no, he's disappointed.
...not been worth the money. Yeah. But no, they're complicit in this offense being better in the last couple of weeks. It's not just all about the quarterback.
Yeah, that's what, and that's all I'm saying in this particular instance. I'm just saying, like, look, the quarterback, I do think generally offenses go as the quarterback goes, and he's played really well the last 2 weeks, and you have to give him credit, and he's clearly made strides. I think it's been a breakthrough, but I just think it's only fair to point out if you were pointing the finger in a negative fashion at those elements of the offense as dragging him down, then I think you have to look at those elements of the offense now propping him up, which was honestly the original design in the construction of the team. And I've said this from the beginning, they wanted to invert the model. Instead of asking the quarterback to elevate the offense and really the entire team, but that's very few quarterbacks can do that. But they were asking the offense to elevate the quarterback, to put the quarterback in a position to succeed. And I think you've seen that the last couple of weeks with better play from the supporting cast around Mac Jones.
Well, the point coming out of the commercial break, though, for me is that, and this is why, you know, I'm emphasizing, like, this is a huge game for the Patriots tomorrow, because again, the conference, the Bills.
Yeah.
The Bills and the Titans, I think, are legit. Those are the two teams you could look at the AFC and say, okay, like, they're going to be in the playoffs. Either of those two teams, I think, could be representing the AFC in the Super Bowl. And the thing I like about the Titans is, and I know their defense isn't all that great, but tough. Some of these games that they've won against some of the better teams they've played, you know, like, it's old Patriot-esque. Like, you know, they're down a handful of points. They come back. They win that game. Like, the last one that they played against the Buffalo Bills.
I mean, to beat Buffalo, and I know Kansas City's not what they used to be, but to beat Buffalo and Kansas City in a span of 6 days, that's pretty impressive.
Extremely impressive. And so the other teams that have looked really good so far, like Cincinnati. Like, okay, Burrow looks legit. The connection he has with Ja'Marr Chase, ridiculous. Their defense kind of underrated. But, I mean, they're still the Bengals. And Baltimore... I mean, they just get waxed by Cincinnati. I like Lamar Jackson. There's times I don't trust him. Still don't love his deep ball. The point is, Chris, like, so this is why this game is so huge for the Patriots tomorrow. I think it's the Bills and Tennessee, and the rest of the conference is kind of a crapshoot.
So can I throw another team? And I think you're gonna laugh at me, and I'm pretty sure I'm going to. Well, let me back it up and ask you this. So you're not buying the Raiders, who are in first place in the AFC West?
I don't trust Derek Carr, no. And I think their defense isn't all that great.
I mean, Max Crosby's one of the better pass rushers in the league. Their secondary seems more solid there. Gus Bradley's done a pretty good job of stabilizing that defense. Derek Carr is putting up really good numbers, and he's led them to the playoffs before. Now, he was hurt. He didn't get to play in that game. But, again, I think, like a lot of the Mac Jones people out there, you're disrespecting Derek Carr. He's a better quarterback than you think.
Big arm, bad turnover waiting to happen. Kind of like a Christian Drew Bledsoe to me. Like, I'm not a Derek Carr guy.
Wow, you really don't like Derek Carr. Holy crap.
Not really. No, I don't trust him.
You threw out the Bledsoe. That's one of your least favorite players ever. You really don't like him.
Just like a lot. Like, good, not great. Like, a ton of stats. Like, you might get into the playoffs and you might make a deep playoff. Like, he's, you know, so Matt Ryan is the modern day Drew Bledsoe. Like, okay, like, that could happen.
Jeez, man.
Yeah, I'm not.
These are painful comparisons.
I think I'm being extremely fair, Chris. I think
you're... Oh, man. I mean, you are just ripping these guys with the. Because here's the thing. You're trying to be diplomatic, but much like my issue with Mac Jones, this is a tonality thing, because I know how you really feel about Bledsoe. So you're like, oh, like the modern day Bledsoe. And you're kind of being like, oh, you know, Bledsoe put up stats. Bledsoe went to a Pro Bowl. Bledsoe led a team to a Super Bowl. But I know how you really feel about Drew Bledsoe.
All right. Well, we haven't taken any calls. I say continue.
Yeah, we'll take some calls.
Yeah, we'll try to mix in some calls on the Pats coming up next.
And I'll answer. I went on a tangent there. I'll give my other team that I think is a contender in the AFC.
Okay. Well, we'll get to that. And your calls, which we have yet to get to at all. I know, very selfish. It's all about us and me. Our names are on the marquee here. It is Gasper Murray. It's 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Chris Gasper. Big Jim Murray. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Chris Gasper. Oh, Jim Murray.
Give me fuel, give me fire.
Give me that which I desire.
It's Gasper and Murray. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Gasper Murray, 98.5, The Sports Hub. All right, so we were talking about the AFC as a whole and the importance of tomorrow's game for the Patriots, because if they win this game tomorrow, all of a sudden, yes, you can have real path talk and you can see them, you know, saying, okay, you can get into the playoffs here. They should probably invest come Tuesday at the NFL trade deadline. Because to me, and I think Chris mostly agrees, it's the Bills and it's the Tennessee Titans, and the rest of the conference kind of a crapshoot. Chris seems to believe in the Las Vegas Raiders. I do not. Who is the other team that you think, because they're well coached, might squeak in? I think I know who it is. Can I guess first?
Go ahead.
Indianapolis.
Yeah, it's Indianapolis. They started off 0-3. Since then, they've won 3 of 4. The only loss on the road to Baltimore in overtime. And I don't know if anyone's been paying attention, but Carson Wentz has thrown 11 touchdown passes and only one interception, being coached by Frank Reich. The quarterback rating is over 100. And also Jonathan Taylor has emerged as a, you know, top 10 running back in the league. He has 579 yards rushing. He's averaging 5.5 yards a carry. And then Michael Pittman. So they sort of have their own little mini version of the triplets. Remember the Cowboys with the triplets? And Matt Eberflus, the defensive coordinator, is widely regarded as one of the best defensive coordinators in the NFL. They don't have a premier pass rusher, but their defense is normally pretty sound. So because that team is well coached and because Carson Wentz is playing pretty well, I think that's a team that could be a contender and could be there in the end. And interestingly enough, the Patriots play them down the road here in December at Indy.
Yeah, I watched that last primetime game they were on. They look pretty solid, and I know that they've, you know, some of their losses have been close. That one they blew to Baltimore was ridiculous a few weeks ago.
They did blow that game. It's fair.
But much like Derek Carr, you know, gun to my head, do I really in my bones trust Carson Wentz and think he is tough? I do not. So, sure, like I get, you know, I like Frank Reich as a coach, and I think he ultimately was the mastermind behind that Eagles Super Bowl and Nick Foles and that whole horror
show. And the MVP
show.
Season Wentz was having until he tore his ACL against the Rams.
Yeah, so maybe, you know, they also have to be a little bit of a concern here. And even, you know, because even Pittsburgh, like, is Pittsburgh really, you know, good? Are they what they were a handful of years ago? Certainly not. But I do think that is a solidly coached team with Mike Tomlin. And he always has them playing competitively. Like, they're not dead yet either. Like, so they could still be in the conversation for a team that could squeak in with a wild card spot, too. So don't forget about them. Okay. Tommy and Lynn, what do you make about tomorrow's game? You're first up here on Gasper Murray. Hello.
All right. What's up, boys? I'm ready for the game tomorrow. This is a must-win game. We win, we're 500, and then there'll be a path talk. And I got a good one, Murray, for you guys. You know how Felger and Maz are looking for new phone guys? Because it was Billy Lanny's last day yesterday.
Yes.
I got a guy in mind. It's my producer, Everett, who produces Tommy Knows Best Sports Podcast. Good phone guy. We'll keep him in the loop, all right?
All right. Well, Tommy, what he needs to do is apply, just like everybody else. I believe you can go to 985thesportshub.com. Always good hearing from you, buddy. And send in a resume there. I do not envy our bosses, program director Rick Radzik and assistant program director Jim Louth, with that hiring process. I will just say that. I'm sure there's, I know actually that already, like, it's a lot of people that have applied, like, I got things to say. I'm going to be the one that shuts down Felger. And
well,
so help me
that's go. Not just, really going to work.
No, just keep that in mind.
But, just ride the coattails, but take the paycheck, people.
But good luck. Good luck to all those applying. Joe and Rentham, let's talk about Patrick Mahomes, who we were discussing earlier. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, so do you guys think Mahomes' career is going to mirror Russell Wilson's early success due to the team around him, but then really can't lift the team up?
Huh.
I would not say that definitely. I mean, I understand what you're saying from a Super Bowl standpoint, but to say that Russell Wilson hasn't lifted those teams up, I mean, have you seen
what they put
out there defensively or how bad some of those offensive lines are? And I also say the longest consecutive streak of winning seasons, now that you fell off when your quarterback left, belongs to the Seattle Seahawks. And it directly coincides with Russell Wilson showing up in Seattle to play for the coach you all thought was a joke. And they have 9 straight winning seasons. So I would not say that Russell Wilson is not capable of elevating that team.
Let me reword how he said, because how I take it is he ultimately, you know, infinitely talented. I love Russell Wilson.
Yes.
Infinitely talented, but ultimately ends up with just the one Super Bowl.
Oh,
who knows?
Okay, I see what you're saying.
But,
okay, that's a different point, yeah.
You know, I could see that. Like, you know, I know he made another Super Bowl and thankfully lost to our quarterback, Tom Brady, and the Buccaneers last year. But it wouldn't shock me that's it. Like that's all he ever...
No, it wouldn't shock me. I mean, it just as it wouldn't shock me if Rodgers just ends up with the one.
Same. Oh, yeah. For sure.
It just as Drew Brees just ended up with the one. And that's really the greatness there of Brady and Belichick. You know, they need each other, you know. And I think when you see – when you can have the very best at two of the most important positions in football, the quarterback's obviously the most important, but then you see what Bill can do. And I always say he's worth like two wins a year. I mean, you see what he's done this year. You see what he's done last year. Like, you know, the Patriots kind of on paper, like they really shouldn't be playing Dallas and the Buccaneers as well as they did, as closely as they did. But that's Bill. That's what he does. And so when you put that together, that's how you get, you know, six Super Bowls. I mean, could have been more if you made some better personnel decisions, but that's fine.
All right, well, let's do the headlines here, and then we'll segue into the Sports Hub Celtics show. A lot of talk about with this team. We have Brian Robb of Mass Live as well, covers the Celtics. And I will also, I can tell you right now, people, I will have Chris's full undivided attention for not just the Sports Hub Celtics show, but the last hour as well, because he can't find Chelsea on TV.
Oh, but
it's
now,
subscription only. It's on Peacock.
No, but now it's the college football witching hour. We've hit noon, so there's games on now. So, yeah, you don't say something that we can't. Becca.
Son of a bitch. Well, it's going to be myself and a half Chris Gasper after the headlines with the Sports Hub Celtics show next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.